In this episode of SeaWorld Drag Race Tea Time, Gary and Damon turn on the sirens as the queens improv their way through a cop comedy challenge. As the queens pair off and hog the stage, our pair critique their reading and face Kenny Runway Glamour. Which queen gets a get-out-of-jail-free card and which one ends up behind bars? Handcuff yourself to the couch as SeaWorld Drag Race Tea Time Season 11, Episode 9 starts now.
Here we go. Hey, kitty girls, welcome to Comes Out Loud Drag Race Tea Time, episode number 9 of season 11, also known as LADP.
Let's get DP'd. Sorry.
Nice. Which I just realized, I think I wrote something wrong somewhere in the doc, maybe, because I think I wrote the real words for DP instead of what they meant it to be. I don't know where I wrote that at, though. We'll come back to it. We'll figure it out later.
Sure, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, because I was like, oops. Yeah. My bad. All right, so as you can tell, things are a little different. It's a Tuesday night. Actually, it's Tuesday, April 30th, 2019. And for those of you that haven't been to this shindig before and don't know who we are, these two fabulous co-stars are going to talk about what happened in the latest episode of RuPaul's Drag Race. My name is Gary, and with me is...
Hello, everyone. It's Damon. Welcome to the show.
Yes. So we're going to break down our thoughts on what happened in the latest episode where old stuff and new stuff sort of come smashing together. And I don't know. I got thoughts. I got feelings.
I got thoughts.
And I'm tired. And I haven't been drinking yet, so we'll see how this goes.
Yeah. Hold the bottle of wine for Gary just for a little bit longer.
I actually didn't bring it with me. That goes to show how tired I am because I didn't even think about wine. All right. So let's just jump straight into it. We are down to 8 queens. Mm-hmm. And now, again, imagine that. So 8 queens, we are halfway through the battle, or ish, so to speak, for the season. Mini challenge, because everybody loves a mini challenge. Mini challenges are rewarded, and you sometimes get to play strategy, sometimes you don't. And in this case, there is a little strategy that comes up. Mini challenges, reading is fundamental.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is a classic reading Paris is Burning realness challenge that we've seen many, many times before.
Right. So, Damon, why don't you start with your thoughts on the reading mini challenge?
Are we ready? Are we ready? Okay.
Wait, so, did you bring extra glasses? I didn't either.
I didn't realize these are that. These are my regular reading glasses, girl.
Yeah.
But I will say this much. So I said, I think some of these girls are illiterate because there was some awful fucking reads this weekend. I mean, awful. Like I don't even remember a whole lot of them because they just kind of flat.
Yeah.
Done. Dead. I mean, I was expecting more, and honestly, of the people I was expecting more from, I'm a little disappointed in Miss Nina. You know,
she's word.
I was expecting so much more from her, and I felt bad because, like, she would give a joke or a line, and it would just be like, it was very like, a little too cerebral for, I think, some of the queens to get. I mean, no offense. Some of the girls are kind of dumb. Just saying. And to add on to that, some people were just outright just loud. There wasn't anything really to say about them. Yeah. I'm talking about Silky. nothing really necessarily said. Loud. I mean, hell, even when RuPaul tells you to shut the fuck up, that might be a clue.
Right. Well, to be fair, I think what Ru actually said was, could you bring it down, like, the volume in terms of how loud she was being? So, yeah.
And then she chose to, like, read herself, kind of, but not really read herself. But she kind of, like, trying to, like.
That queen is doing everything possible to get more camera time.
Ain't that and fucking true?
It's working.
Yeah.
Because we're seeing it all.
Sure is.
Or most of it.
I'm tired. You talking about you tired. I'm tired of that shit. Like, I want to see less of this. Less of this. More of like this. Like, when she was quiet in the episode, like, when her, after her and Evie had that whole big fight, I was so fucking happy. You have no idea.
Listen to you.
Hit that mute button. We're, we've seen that meme.
Yeah, so how about I didn't understand that meme? Like, it was being shown to me, and I was like, I don't get it. They were like, look at it. And I was like, oh. Mm-hmm. Now I get it. Now it's funny. But I thought it was like a video. So I was like, why isn't it playing? I guess I'm so used to hearing her yammering on that I was just confused why I couldn't hear her.
Why ain't she listening?
Yeah.
Oh, well. So that was me. Gary, how about you?
To borrow a line from a famous queen who said it recently, stink, stank, stunk.
Mm-hmm.
Nina. Why you were looking to RuPaul for affirmation that you were doing reading right or landing jokes or whatever that was, I was shocked and confused.
Same
and,
here.
And bewildered because I was like, you a funny queen. Why are you looking to Mama Ru for like affirmation or to like, I mean, what was funnier about it is that Ru was like, oh, you need to explain it to me? Like, you want to?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, no, she didn't. I was yes, like, oh. Girl. I was like, well, Nina ain't going to win. That's okay, though. Like, mm-mm. Mm-mm. Yeah, there was only like one person who I felt like really nailed it for the most part. And the more this individual keeps doing well, the more they hearken back to the queen they were compared against in the very first challenge, which is really not fair because mm-hmm. I don't know if they're ever going to get out under the shadow of this queen that's been on previously in the season. So, yeah. That being said,
suspense girl.
well, it's not really that suspenseful. The winner was Brooklyn Heights.
Yay.
And she received a $2,500 gift card to LA Iwerks.
She can give Vandy some new glasses so she can read her lines.
Oh, honey. That was definitely shameworthy. Yeah, she was not good. It's like they didn't prepare.
Yeah.
And I'm beginning to wonder if the girls are starting to get tired. And the reason why I say that is because we are now eight episodes completed. We're into the ninth episode. And if each episode takes approximately 3 days to shoot, that means they've been out this for a month.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's 24 days. And then they take weekends off. They do not film on Saturdays and Sundays. So wherever they are in the scheduled lineup, they take 2 days off, then they come back, which is why I think Silky Nutmeg Ganache was able to get away with making the dress that she made for Farm to Runway, because I think she took that shit back to her hotel room and then worked on it all weekend, and that's mm-hmm. how you had all the time in the world to be able to place all them things to make it actually look like a real pattern.
Mm.
I'm not reading. I'm just saying. Like, I think that's kind of how that works. Like, sometimes you're in the middle of shooting an episode and then you take 2 days off, which is excruciating for the queen that's about to go home, like, especially if it's right before Elimination Day. But mm-hmm. so, yeah, I mean, I'm confused as to why so little of them were prepared in a way for the.
It was lackluster.
Yeah.
It was just like. We've had some really great reads over the years, and we've had some really not so great reads, but this one overall was not so great.
Yeah.
You know.
But, no, I agree. But Brooklyn, in my opinion, sounded a lot like Detox.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's what she was compared with on the very first episode when they did, you know, the repurposed fashion like building challenge. Mm-hmm. And she comes out and everybody's like, looks just like Detox, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, but the more she kind of acts like Detox, it doesn't help any. I'm like, I want you to be Brooklyn Heights. I don't need you to be Detox. There already is a Detox.
Correct.
Like, we all love Detox. We don't need to love you as Detox. We need to just love you as who you are.
FYI, Miss Brooklyn Heights is actually here in Cincinnati right now. She's at the Hard Candy at the Cabaret. There were two shows. They were sold out. I wasn't going to go anyway before we even decided to do this episode because we literally just got back from Claw and spending all that money doing that shit. And I was like, I really don't want to like go to another thing to spend money to try to sit down and find a seat and watch a show. And while I'm liking Brooklyn,
right,
I was good. So I made my peace with it.
No, and I agree with you. Like, I mean, we just spent the weekend, as we were talking about, you know, in a city at an event. And then that's why we didn't record COLDR on Sunday night. We actually kind of forgot. well, I mean, like, we kind of scheduled it, and then neither of us remembered that we were planning that evening to try to do it. And it wasn't until I was already dealing with some else in my personal life, and then I was like, oh, that's right. It was on the calendar. So I messaged you because you didn't even say anything. And I was like, I think we both forgot, because, like, I think the plan was you were going to get home and then watch it once you got home. And then we're
literally... By the time we got home, it was 6-ish, 7-ish, and I had to watch the episode. I wouldn't have been ready by the time we had scheduled anyway.
Right.
So, yeah. I mean, fortuitous in a sense.
That, right.
Yeah.
So, and this is like, I had today, well, I didn't have today free. I did not work today. Let me put it that way. I did not get paid to do the things I did today. I actually paid out money today doing a bunch of stuff. And that'll be discussed another time. So, yeah, I was just like, okay, trying to get things done. So I was like, okay, well, let's knock this thing out.
Let's do this thing.
Let's move on to the Maxi Challenge, shall we? All right. So the Maxi Challenge this week is kind of new, kind of not.
Mm-hmm.
The queens are asked to perform in an improv comedy police sketch. So, which I just realized that's all worded incorrectly. let's try rephrasing that. An improv police sketch comedy. There we go. So it makes more sense. English is my language, believe it or not. So basically the winner of the mini challenge, Miss Brooklyn Heights, gets to pair everybody up because there's 8 of them. So there's going to be 4 duets. And so she picks her scene partner first, and she picks Miss Nina West.
Mm-hmm.
So yay, she picks the funny queen, which then of course kind of pisses off the other girls, because then they are like, oh, of course you decide to pick her, which I'm like, duh. Right,
like real quick, like full-on stop, like duh, like I'm gonna pick the person that has done these improv challenges and done really well. She won the last one. Mm-hmm. Is funny as fuck. Mm-hmm. And has been acting whatever for many, many years. We know this. We've heard of this before on the show. So why am I not going to stack my deck
right
when I won the mini challenge? Because you all sucked at reading.
Truth. Very, very, very much truth. So, yeah, I don't blame Brooklyn for picking Nina. I would have picked Nina. I would have been like, you funny girl. Like, of course, that can be the kiss of death. Because... Mm-hmm. You're going to end up with a scene partner who technically could overshadow you, and then you like don't do well.
Mm-hmm.
So she picks Nina, and they end up just they get assigned indecent exposure at the trailer park. More mm-hmm. on that in a moment. And then she puts together the following teams: Akiria with Evie, and they are going to be Twerking Girls, Corner Disturbance.
Mm-hmm.
Plastic Tiara and Vanessa Vanjie Matteo are going to be Catfight at the Liquor Store. And Sugarcane and Silky Namaganosh are going to be Back Alley Butt Pads. So premise-wise, it's cute. It's funny. I also very much appreciated that Miss RuPaul got to be the 911 like dispatch operator in her fashionable black track like jumpsuit, sitting there being like super sassy, super queeny when she's like answering the calls.
Yeah.
Like I actually like Rue when she's like that because I just think it's like stupid and silly and fun. So I appreciated how she was like, you know, quipping and inserting certain things. She was like, hey, by the way, how much you making tips over there? Like, I need to find a new job, which I was like, girl, actually, that's pretty sad if you ain't making decent money as the dispatcher, just saying. But, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So Nina is teamed up with Brooklyn. They have this whole discussion. Brooklyn is honest and is very concerned about doing this challenge, and she wants Nina to give her pointers on how to be funny and how to do things. So that is a whole strategy. Mm-hmm. And then she also says that she puts a strong personality, like a strong skilled performer with a lesser skilled performer. So her whole thing was like, I have made this fair. Now she doesn't say that, but this is the way I interpret it. Mm-hmm. She made all four teams fair. All four teams have a strong contender and a not a strong contender. So she didn't
balance.
Right. And she didn't stack them like putting two strong people and two weak people together. Supposedly. Well, I'm just going to say. And then we get the beautiful benefit of our guest judges / coaches scene partners this week, which is Fortune Feimster, who is a funny big lesbian who I actually like Fortune. Like, she's kind of dry, but she's done tons and tons and tons of fucking improv. So she had a lot of that. And then we, of course, get Cheyenne Jackson, which I have a bone to pick with John Pauly because I watched finally when Extra Lap Recap came out, and the way he introduced the two of them, he was like, you know, the gorgeous Cheyenne Jackson. And then he was like, and the extra like funny, you know, Fortune Feimster. And I was like, wait a minute, why does he get to be gorgeous and she doesn't? Like, why are we focusing on his beauty and her comedy? Like,
he's gay.
Right, but I was like, that's pretty shady. Like, come on. Like, if you're going to talk about his physicality, like, make him balanced.
Although it was kind of funny that, like, he put in the little eureka, like, please just fuck me.
Oh, I know.
Her read to Cameron.
I know. It was. If you haven't seen, you should really watch that on YouTube.
It's funny. It's a cute one. It was a cute one, yeah.
So the beauty of this is that it's actually a four-part, like, interaction. Each skit is four people going back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got two cops that arrive on the scene. You've got two characters that are playing off of each other going back and forth. And the thing is, they're all scripted. Like, maybe not Cheyenne and Fortune too much, but like the queens are. Like, there's a premise, there's a storyline, there's kind of an arc, like a point of what you're trying to do. So it's not like you do nothing, because as we discover, Nina gets really pissy because in their skit, Brooklyn never says the line.
Yeah.
That's supposed to let Nina come out of the trailer.
Yep.
So Nina's really frustrated by that, to which I thought, bitch, don't wait for the fucking line. It's improv. Just get your ass out there. Which,
yeah,
sure. Eventually she did.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
It was very so. Okay. So I'll give my thoughts on this right now. So I said scene hogging, and this is kind of a good and bad balance kind of comment.
Right.
Since the way Brooklyn decided to do the team, she put a strong person with a weaker person. And I get her idea of like those people would essentially help each other, balance each other out. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, that was never the case. Mm-hmm. In a lot of ways, you had one person kind of overtaking the scene, as it were. Right. And then the other person kind of trying to fight it back. Sugar and Silky was a very clear example of this. I don't know where Sugar was going with her character. Don't get me wrong. I had an idea in a sense, but there was a little too much going on. And unfortunately, because Silky had all of this shit you know, going on with her being the person like selling the back alley backpass, and she had chicken and whatever and all this other stuff going on, it took away from whatever Sugar was going to do. Every moment that Sugar could have potentially had was gone.
Right. And the downside is, in an improv challenge like this, you don't get coaching. Like, you don't get practice sessions where somebody like a director or a coach is going to be able to say, okay, so here's the issue. Sugar, like, you need to come in at the level that Silky's at or harder than she is because you have now been missing for a minute and a half out of the skit.
Yeah.
Because of the way they set it up. There's nothing wrong with it, but that's the downside. And because you don't really get that, like, outside assistance. You have no clue that you're just not doing well, like until it's too late and you're already in it. And then you're just like, well,
fuck. Yeah. Right. And then, so I'll skip the plastic and silk, plastic and Vanjie one. Cause that just, that was a train wreck from the beginning, like to the end. I had no idea what the fuck was going on. No clear indication of who was doing what to whom. There was something about a man being stolen. They're carrying a jug of milk. It just became, I don't know what the idea behind it was, but it just never came out as like something. Right. The only scene that, well, Akiria and Evie was only misbalanced only because Akiria was like committed to her character. And there was so much to this arc that I loved that it just kind of, I felt I kept following her as opposed to really following Evie's like character. I got the story.
Right.
It worked, but it was just, oh shit, you know, like.
Yeah. And I don't disagree with you, Damon. Like, I mean, Akiria was the focal point, like in that particular skit, couldn't help but watch, had to see what the hell was going on. And I thought that was really interesting because she was truly embodying the character of who she was portraying. Like, scarily so. Like, I believe I would see, and this is not to be disparaging, if you haven't seen the episode, you're not going to understand what I'm about to say. And so that's just, you know, kind of sad. Spoiler alert. So Akiria truly is embodying a streetwalker. Like it reminds me of the moment when oh my God, her name just went out of my head. When Raja was doing the challenge to get into the club. And you remember when she was like, and RuPaul was like, is that a rabbit fur coat? She's like, oh, this is my good fur. Like the way she delivered it was so funny, but there was a part of me that was like, I'm pretty sure I've seen her in a stall at about 3 a.m. after the club, like trying to buy a 40 and a pack of cigarillos. And so Akiria to me is like delivering this honest to goodness older, like
twerking like
streetwalker,
street hoe.
Like even though her daytime drag was like really nighttime drag, like there was a part of me that was like, did those girls really look like that in LA? Seriously, broad daylight. I mean. But, you know, let's suspend that because it's just a silly show. But, yeah, like, I was so blown away by how she was behaving. And I was like, oh, my God. Like, yeah, seems it just, like it legit. So well.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good. It was good. So, and in Brooklyn, I'm going to say it only because I feel it needs to be said. I think she took her direction from Nina and ran with it, literally. And she, I mean... And she took some of the direction that I think Rue gave her about, you know, using her body and doing what she can do. Because it's true. We all know that Brooklyn is a dancer. She's very flexible. And she used that to her advantage in this episode. And it was hilarious. Like, it was perfect. I got what she was supposed to be. I will be continuing for the rest of my days saying I'm a level 4 vegan. I think that is the funniest shit I have heard in a long fucking time. I don't even get it, but I think it's just hilarious.
What's even worse is that all the LA people were like, oh yeah, like almost like it is a real thing, but my understanding is that it isn't. So like the fact that it so seems legit and they didn't question it is even worse and funnier at the same time.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
So how about you, Mr. Gary?
I said there were Dark Horse runaway winners. And as we were just discussing, I think it's Brooklyn and Akira. I think they both literally slayed, like pulled out the mace blade and just like slaughtered everybody else. Like there were only two left standing. And what's the only thing I wonder about is if it would have been like as funny and as cutthroat if the two of them had been teamed up together. It's and we'll never know, but there's a part of me that's like, since they were both so good, I just kind of wonder what it would have been like if the two of them had been on a team together. Akira, I think, would have been able to deliver the same. Brooklyn, on the other hand, I don't know whether or not she would have. And I felt bad for Nina because, like Suga with Silky, she came in later. And I think that's a disadvantage because then you really have to come in at that higher level. To be fair, though, Nina had some really good funny moments.
Oh, yeah.
And she was definitely delivering this like holy roller kind of like trailer park, you know, prudent, like kind of, you know, personality. And Brooklyn was just fucking her up left and right.
Yeah.
And, you know, was like making her touch her titties. And I mean, just like all sorts of stuff. And I was like, this is okay.
And I like that. That bit of the arc, that bit of the story.
Right. And I think that that helped deliver a lot. I was shocked as to how much Brooklyn did naked, like with her super tuck apparently, because I mean, yeah, they were going to pixelate it out anyways, but like, wow. Like there were some positions and all sorts of things that I think sometimes Fortune and Cheyenne were legitimately like, oh shit. Like,
they're the penis. They're the penis.
Well, I mean, if she's truly tucked correctly, it like, it just
there's a something,
right? Like there's not much, but I mean, you know, it looks more, you know, Barbie doll than anything. So yeah, I mean, I honestly think that if there's ever a time to start pulling ahead, now is it.
True.
And you and I have been kind of talking about like who's left, what's going to happen. And I think honestly that we're coming down to the part where we've just got a couple more that need to leave. And then we're going to have the true contenders. And I hate saying it that way, but you and I have talked about every season since we started, like, what, back in season 7 doing this gig, like, the first half of the season is, okay, well, whatever. Like, another one got to go. Somebody got to leave. And you start getting to the ones that are really more skilled that you expect to make it towards the finale.
True.
And we now know, I think, that there's, what, 4 more episodes to go?
Yeah.
I think. So, like, we got a screenshot, and it's official now because it's apparently on a couple websites. Like, all the remaining shows, titles, and dates, like, air dates are listed. And so, you know, I think we have 3 or 4 plus the reunion and then the finale. So,
we have 3 episodes, then a reunion, then a finale.
Right. So, basically, 5 more weeks. But, you know, it's really 3 episodes plus the finale. I mean, the reunion hopefully will be just as juicy in front of some of the latest ones. But we'll see how that plays out.
Which is interesting. So we just eliminated 7. We're down to 7. 6, 5, 4. So there's going to be 4 queens in the finale.
Right. So that most likely means we're going to get the same thing we've gotten recently, which is 4 queens in the finale in LA being filmed, let's see, in 2 weeks.
Something like that.
On Mother's Day, maybe? What's the... Sorry, everybody. I'm going to like take a look and see what the calendar has to say.
Well, if the reunion's on the 23rd, episode airs on the 23rd, they're going to have to shoot before then. So it's either going to be...
Well, if and I don't remember correctly, but if DragCon is Mother's Day weekend, like it usually has been, and they're filming that same weekend, then that means... the finale and the reunion will both be filmed like around Sunday the 12th or Monday the 13th, somewhere in there.
Let's find out. When is DragCon?
Yeah, LA.
DragCon is May 24th, 25th, and 26th.
Oh, then that means they are that means that they're actually filming the finale and Yeah, see, that is weird because I thought the finale and everything was going to be aired in June because of LA Drag Con being late this year. I forgot about that.
Hmm.
So most likely that means they're filming the finale this coming weekend, maybe, but we haven't heard anything about it. Normally we get a thing that says, you know, some other stuff. But anyways, the real deal is that like we're on track for the final four, which is the two queens will lip sync, two other queens will lip sync, and then the winners of those two will lip sync.
Yeah.
To the end. That model I'm actually okay with.
Yeah.
Because it actually goes back to like, you know, talent and that kind of stuff. And like, unfortunately, it also probably means stunts.
And stunts
slams don't backfire.
And reveals. I love that. I remember that meme from season 10, like with the four queens like sitting next to each other, like all bundled up and with weird fucking shit. And it's like, is there going to be a reveal? Maybe. Like,
right, because Aquaria looking like a Space Jays Jiffy Pop was not a giveaway that there was a reveal, which actually, to be honest, her reveal wasn't that revealing. And I don't really call it a reveal. When it's obvious it's a reveal, it's not a reveal. It's just a like it's an expectation. I don't know. Like maybe we need to come up with new terms, I guess, because to me, what I call a reveal, what I love as a reveal is when I don't see it coming.
Yeah. Like a wig under a wig.
Which I'm becoming, you know.
Yeah. When it's becoming cliche. Yeah. I get it. But when it's like original.
Right. Like here's an example, which apparently this has happened for a while now. And I didn't know this. Brooklyn Heights outfit from not All That Glitters.
Yeah.
Was it last week?
Yeah.
Yeah, when she did really badly. Mm-hmm. So she knew she had to pull it onto the runway. That like bit where she does the turn and pops off the cape and the afro is something she's done before. Like I've heard on other podcasts like that they've seen her do that. Like, so that's a known outfit, a known like reveal, so to speak. So to me, I'm like, I don't know if I call that a reveal. Like I call it surprising, I call it fun, but like it, like you didn't really change a whole lot. Like, yeah, you changed your hair, but like, you know, taking off a piece of clothing does not make it a reveal. I don't know. Anyways, that's a topic for another time with stunts and all the rest of that kind of shit.
We'll probably talk about it in the finale.
Speaking of which, just as a sidebar, sorry, all our listeners, some people who have been on before are going to come back and talk to us. So we need to figure out how to make that happen. Just letting you know. One of them we saw this past weekend in Cleveland.
Yes.
We have to figure out how to like make all that work. All right. That being said, are you ready to move on to the next part?
Sure thing.
Okay. Category is face Katie realness.
Yes.
So here's the new thing in this episode, because I was like, what the fuck is the theme? But then when I found out that it was based off of that one episode from last season. So here's the tea, because I already talked to you about this, Damon. Word is, when RuPaul did the infamous face bikini incident where she was wearing that like lycra bodysuit and she had that big mirrored thing across and she had like the crazy lips in that, apparently Ru was sick with a flu, like legit sick. And the only way they made it through was to pull this, like, not really stunt, but to pull this look where you didn't have to see her eyes. You didn't have to see her face. Like, she didn't need to talk that much. Like, there was a lot going on purpose so that she kind of didn't look like normal Rue. But this is the infamous face bikini stunt or whatever, in which people question, was it really Rue? Was it a body double? Blah, blah, blah. So, which actually apparently Rue has said she thought that was really funny because she was like, yes, it was really me. Like, you know,
all that shit.
Yeah, exactly. So they made a whole theme out of it for this season, which I thought was like refreshingly new and kind of funny. And also troubling because some queens didn't know what the hell they were doing. So, for stopping the runway, Damon, what were your thoughts?
Come through, Nina. Yay. I loved her look. I loved the, like, kind of, it was glamour-ish with a little bit of camp. You know, there was the polka dots, and we all saw that she had painted her face to kind of look that way as well. That all really worked. The face mask was fun. It reminded me kind of a, like a peppermint thing, which was, you know, kind of cool. It worked so well. I loved that suit on her, the cane, everything just worked. Like it was great. Like, mm-hmm. Go ahead, go girl. Like, that's how you do this challenge, mm-hmm. to me. While it was maybe simple, it was executed exquisitely.
Right. I can't disagree with you. I said some were spot on. And of course, that was like meant to be punny because I'm definitely in the camp of Nina West, especially for this episode. Like, she fucking nailed it. I thought it was amazing that she pulled this crazy Lee Bowery monster ball, like high end kind of look. She got complimented on Fashion Photo Review. Aquaria noted that the lining of the jacket was the same red and white polka dot print that was used for the fabric and the makeup of her face. So she commented on that and the red piping on the jacket. Like, the whole thing was just a complete look.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think part of this was. Also, I have to give props to Sugarcane. I was not ready.
Yes.
For her crazy, like, Victorian era My Fair Lady meets, yes, Mary Poppins meets, like crazy sub kink, yeah, like face, like I was just like, what the hell? Like,
it was kind of kinky. I kind of liked it. Like, I was kind of like,
I was living for it. Like, she came, yeah, walking out, and I was like, oh my god. And then what cracked me up is, I think Aquaria and Raja were talking about how she looked like wallpaper, which made me laugh because they were like, she looked like she literally just like popped off the wall as camouflage in a Victorian parlor, like, with this, like, but I was like, okay, I don't know if I go that far, but no, like, I get what they were saying. Like, it was alluring and kind of fun, but creepy. Like, it was just a lot of things all in one. And I was like, you know, she may be the oldest queen at 40. She may be one of the youngest queens in terms of experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's been some controversy about that. If you haven't heard online, people have been talking about that. Sugarcane says that she's only been doing it at the time of recording, like as of about a year. And then some queens from New York were like, bitch, you've been doing this shit for like 6 years. There's photographic proof online. Sugar has since then explained that she was doing it professionally, like getting paid for it. She said there were a number of years in which she was just doing it to be silly and to be fun, you know, kind of like, I think the beginning for a lot of them was like Halloween, and then like you kind of do some other stuff. So, you know, she left her six-figure job to become a professional drag queen. So
yeah,
so there's that. So I thought that hers was really, really good. You know, Brooklyn, I really liked it. I thought, however, like, in terms of face Keeney, like, I question whether or not it met the challenge. Like, it was beautiful. I had no problem with the steampunk aspect. I loved the horse head that lifted up, and that it was this crazy glitter zebra print thing. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know what it is with horses and hooves this season, because that seems to be a thing that keeps coming back again and again and again. But yeah, like, I mean, I really, really kind of got it and liked it, and so I wasn't mad about it.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Yeah, so I mean, out of the eight of them, I was kind of like, yeah. And then we have those that just kind of didn't rise to the occasion. Plastique Tiara comes out, and I was like, girl, that ain't no face Keeney.
No,
like, that ain't even kinky. Like, that's just some cheap latexy kind of like straps on your face that you bought at the sex store, like, or from Fredericks of Hollywood back in the day.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was really disappointed because Plastique has been such a good person on the runway in terms of like what she presents.
And the rest of the outfit looked amazing. I will say that much. Yes, it was technically in a leotard kind of thing going on. People have like compared it to one of Aja's looks during All Stars
Mm-hmm. Which, to be fair, when I saw them side by side, I was like, ooh, they do look quite a bit alike.
It's possible that they were made by the same person. Who knows? Could anyway, be. What she ended up doing with her makeup, however, she was doing this. I follow some makeup people online. It was this, it's called like the lollipop or the popsicle like look. It's meant to blur like around like the mouth and eyes to kind of give like if you've been sucking on a popsicle and it gets all over your face. Mm-hmm. Kind of thing. It was a trend for a while back a couple of years ago. I get what she was maybe trying to do, but I think it wasn't enough. When I think of face keening, I think of it covering your entire face.
Right. And that was my issue was the moment she came out, I was like, oh, she's going to be in the bottom. Like, you're not even meeting the runway challenge. Like, it's called face keening, not, you know, ass keening, not thigh keening, not pussy keening, like, not tit keening. It's called face keening. Like, so the whole point is, like, it's supposed to be something that's covering up your face, and yet some of your features are still present. And it wasn't really covering up much. So I was like, that's the problem. Yeah. I also have to agree with the judges' criticisms that Vanjie just, you know, no, like it was ill-fitting, kind of didn't work.
Yeah.
Like, wasn't that original?
That was one of those times where I love sometimes when she does the no, like breast or whatever, you know, thing, she needed a little more shape.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was tight, especially at the top, that it left. It needed something to kind of add onto it. She looked from like neck to waist like a boy.
Right. And no, then, I don't disagree. That was part of the problem was that she didn't necessarily have good shape. Like, she had no hips, she had no boobs. Like, it just, it was.
She had a little hip. Like, she's had hip before. It just wasn't enough. Like, she needed a more curve up top to compliment, only because, just, you know, as we know, she's been wearing like bodysuits, like leotards, whatever,
right.
And those can kind of contribute to like the whole like a padded illusion of like a hip and whatever, where now she's wearing this weird funky like pant thing that was one piece, and it just never the proportions were wrong.
Well, you need to learn
to proportionize.
Right. And the thing that I found that happened with her pants, like the legs, where Michelle was reading about how she kind of looked like, because they had stirrups and they looked like tubes, and it made her look like one of those, like, you know, tube people that are like at car sales places where they're just like flailing all around.
Wacky wailing inflatable arm flailing.
Yeah.
Wacky wailing inflatable arm flailing tube man. There you go.
So my issue was the way her pants fit remind me of people who get like custom leather pants and don't bother to have them tailored. So they're not really custom. They're just like more bought off
style. I bought a pair of leather pants and put them on and they fit at the waist. So.
Right. And so maybe they're the right length, but they're not really like tailored at all. So they look weird. They hang strange. Like, that was the big thing of the bet. So, you know, Vanjie's was not necessarily that great. Plastique's was not that great. And of course, we cannot not talk about the roach in the room. I mean, the fly. I mean, the fly without wings. I mean, the roach without wings. Oh, that's right. Roaches also have wings. Very confusing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The bug.
Yeah, the bug, to say the least. And that bugged, pun intended, the rest of the queens, because they're all like, Silky, you gonna start painting?
No.
And she's like, no. She's like, I don't have to do much. Like, my face is mostly covered up, blah, 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 blah. She's like, these stupid queens, like this and that. Yeah, well, guess what, Silky? You got red for it on the runway. Deservedly so. Michelle came for you, and you got every ounce of it. I wish you'd gotten double, because I was irritated. Because the moment she walked out, I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
I was like,
work.
No.
I mean, okay. Again, this is one of my biggest problems with Silky. As she mentioned in the start of the episode, she says she's not going to do much more. In a sense, she kind of mentioned that in the episode. And I was kind of like, well, good luck. Cause this outfit was a sign to me that you're like definitely the sign that you're not even going to try.
Well, more importantly, that you've already peaked.
Yeah.
Like, you're supposed to get better and better as the whole season goes on. And if this is not you getting better. That means you've already like shot your load, basically. Like mm-hmm. there is nothing more to come yeah. in the coming episodes that's going to make an improvement. And that means that you've plateaued or hit your peak and then we're done.
Yeah. Like and, I hated the fact that she didn't do any kind of paint. She put her lip on.
Right.
And it wasn't even a good lip. Did you see it was cracking and shit? Like, no. Like, and you probably didn't work because you probably didn't do your normal routine for your lips and your, you know, mouth and what have you to wear it so that it presents better.
Right. So it was problematic.
Ugly so, as fuck.
Yeah.
Stomp that fucking roach.
Exactly. So that means we have a winner. Yay. For the episode. I think this winner is deservedly so.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I wanted it to possibly go to one of two other people, I think there were three top contenders. I wanted it to appropriately go to someone that I wouldn't be mad about them winning. And in this case, I'm not mad about it.
Mm-hmm.
So the downside is that, I'm just going to like kind of say it this way, I guess. spoiler alert. Nina West is safe.
Yeah.
So I really wanted her to do better this week. She did not. She didn't necessarily deliver as good in the reading challenge as expected. She did okay in the improv challenge. She smashed the runway, which is not enough to make you top contender.
Correct.
Sugar Cane was kind of in the same spot. Like, so weirdly, the two of them were safe together, which I was like, no, oh.
Evie was safe with her.
Oh, I thought Sugar was safe with her.
Mm-mm. It was Evie. Oh.
Well, we'll get to that in a moment. So ultimately, Akiria C. Davenport is the winner. She yes. gets two. Now, this is a very interesting prize. She gets two tickets to Cirque du Soleil's Zumanity, which is their sexy show. And it includes flight and hotel accommodations in Las Vegas.
Go, girl.
So at first I was like, she gets two tickets to a fucking Cirque du Soleil show? Are we serious? Like, this is what she wins? And then, like, it was a weird way it was phrased. She gets the hotel stay and the trip. And I was like, why are we wrapping up with that? Yeah. I guess we're wrapping up with that because Cirque du Soleil probably is the one who gave the gift. And you want to focus on that? But it was so weird. I was like, why didn't you say you win travel and accommodations to Las Vegas to see? You know what I mean? Like, build it up instead of starting with the big thing. And then you kind of add the other stuff, which actually adds the financial value. Like, it was so weird to me. I was like, okay, it's a kind of an okay prize. Like, it's, you know, her and someone else. They're gonna get their Zhuzhan. They're going to go to Vegas. They're going to go see Zumanity. Okay, you know.
Yeah, it sounded like a good trip. I will say that much.
Right.
As someone who recently went to Vegas, I loved. I was across from the New York, which is where Zumanity is performed. It's an amazing place. So,
yeah.
You're at the far end of the strip, but hey, it's good times all around.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a decent prize. So, I'm not mad about the fact that Akiria won. I had kind of thought Brooklyn, Nina, and Akiria were the top three contenders for the week. So anyways.
Yeah.
You ready to move on?
Yes. Let's.
Okay.
Girl, if you're not watching Untucked, you're only getting half the story.
About that. So let it all hang out, hunty. Maybe? It's our Untucked discussion, which is gonna probably be really short. Damon, what did you think of Untucked?
To be blunt and honest, there wasn't really a whole lot about this one, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was great for them. Was this the one? Yeah, that Natasha Lyonne joined them. But my big thing was it was the like tender moments with dad, is what I called it. So before the queens come back. Evie and Nina are safe. So they go back in the, you know, they're backstage. And we have this kind of really fun moment, or really wonderful moment between Evie and Nina. Nina kind of tells Evie that I really appreciate what you say and what you do. I love your kookiness. I really think it. And then she kind of like, sorry, as I'm looking at my notes, like, okay. You know, she says like, you know, she loves that part of Evie because she wants that. And she knows that Evie is a different type of drag and is, you know, very kooky. And I love that Evie was receptive of that information. She mm-hmm. wasn't resisting, but she kind of was opening up to her. And mm-hmm. it was this very kind of like touching moment between the two that we haven't really seen in a lot of the, you know, previous episodes. I think what Nina was trying to say to Evie is that while these other queens don't get it, I do.
Okay.
Like, I get your honesty. I get your bluntness. I get why you're saying what you do, and I appreciate it.
She, if I recall correctly, she also did say, like, there is a deliverability issue.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes you could, you know, kind of tweak how you say something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agreed. And it was, like I said, it was, she said, like, not everyone appreciates Evie's approach. But also she kind of said that maybe she can change the approach a little bit. And Evie was receptive of that.
Right.
Will she change? Will she not? I don't know.
Yeah.
But it was very much this kind of tender moment with her. And again, Gay Latasha Yone was the other, which we didn't talk about really. She was one of the guest judges for this episode as well. Don't ask me why.
Well, so here's the really weird thing about it. We actually had three guest judges this week, which mm-hmm. I think is the first time this has ever happened.
It's been a long time since I think we've had three guests at the same time.
Because I don't remember having three guest judges at the same time. Normally, of recent seasons, it's always been Michelle and Rue, and it's either Ross or Carson. Mm-hmm. And the male, like, you know, returning judge is missing. So I thought that was really interesting that Natasha was brought in. I love Natasha Lyonne, and mm-hmm. I've always liked her. And she and Rue have a history because Natasha Lyonne was in But I'm a Cheerleader, which is this, you know, fun movie about, you know, lesbian in high school thing. And RuPaul, Andre Charles is
converting therapy.
Right. Like, I mean, you know, so it's cute. They kind of have a whole thing. Natasha Lyonne is in a recent series on Netflix called Russian Doll, which is amazing if you kind of like that stuff. She's been in a whole bunch of things. Most popularly, she's been in Orange is the New Black. So, like, I wasn't necessarily surprised to see her on her. I do agree. Like, it seemed odd that she was in there because both Fortune and, like, Cheyenne were on the judges panel because they had also participated in the improv. Mm-hmm. So it would have made sense to me if Natasha hadn't been there. But Natasha also notably is a comedic actress and therefore was able to kind of say things having just seen what was filmed
mm-hmm.
versus being in the scene. So she did, I mean, she did provide a slightly different balance. It just was different, I guess, for us as viewers, like, that she was there. I don't know if it was one of these weird, like, well, we're contracted because we've kind of agreed to have her on. Like, you know, I don't know, something.
Yeah.
So for me on Untucked, I said I got nothing. Honest to Pete, like, I watched it Saturday while I was in Cleveland. Untucked was only 20 minutes long. I don't remember hardly anything from it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is probably why I can't remember who was safe and who talked to who and what got said. And it didn't mean a damn thing anyways. Sorry about it.
It's okay.
We have to.
We can't all be winners.
They all can't be that, like, high drama, apparently, because nothing really memorable happened in that case, at least for me.
Yeah.
Okay. You ready to move on?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Two queens stand before me. Prior to tonight, you were asked to prepare a lip-sync performance.
So, it is Lip-Sync for Your Lifetime. Bottom two are, no real surprise, sorry, Plastic Tiara and Vanessa Vangie Mateo.
Gasp.
Really? I kind of have to agree, like, that they deservedly were at the bottom. Their improv skit was not that good, and Vangie was horrible, like, at reading, which is weird.
Yep.
So what I thought was actually weird about the lip sync, this is like my only, like, this isn't related to my comment. This is the only thing that stood out to me was they lip sync to, everybody wait and hold on to your seats for this, Hood Boy by Fantasia Barrino. I know who Fantasia is from American Idol. I don't know the song. I think I've ever heard a song in my lifetime. Was it a hit? I'm so confused.
Let me find out.
Because I was like, what the hell are they lip-syncing to? I was like, we have had some mega songs, some very popular songs this season, and then this came from out of nowhere. If Fantasia had been a guest judge, I wouldn't have questioned it. I would have been like, okay, Fantasia's a guest judge. Obviously, we're going to give the kudo and the head nod, and we'll perform one of her songs. She wasn't there.
The song was also 13 years old.
Okay.
Like, that's what I was wondering. So that's why I wanted to look it up. So sorry, FYI, I wanted to look it up for two reasons. I wanted to see like, oh, well, maybe this is a new song that she's recently come out with, you know, maybe in the past year or so.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, but no. It's
2006?
Yep, 2006.
Dang.
It's probably from her... probably from her debut album.
After Idol?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was so confused by this. And I thought, if I was one of those queens, I'd be like, what? We're lip sync. Well, I have to learn what? Like, yeah.
Okay, it wasn't the first album. It was her second. Excuse me. Sorry.
That's even more reason why I don't know what it is. Yes, I'm being that bitch. A lot of people who are on Idol after their first album, you don't really remember them anymore.
Except there's a few exceptions. Yes. Kelly Clarkson.
Hell yeah. My girl, Kelly Clarkson.
Carrie Underwood.
Yes. Now, to be fair, I remember Crystal Bauer Socks, but that's only because like she, you know, was a hippie and then changed herself afterwards. And I followed her on Facebook, but that was about it. Yeah. So anyways, yeah, they just did a weird song. To me, it was a weird song. I don't understand.
It is a weird song. But again, okay, let me just go into my thoughts.
Yes, so, please.
Let me do this. Let me get this through. So I said, I've seen this before. A lot of the tricks and stuff that they were both doing, I've seen done by other queens before. This lip sync did not impress me in any way, shape, or form. It wasn't, to me, like a lip sync for your life. While it was entertaining and energetic, there was still just, it was very odd. So you have Vanjie with her, like, big-ass braid that's a part attached to her face, Keeney, and she's whipping around with her hair as her hair and, like, knocking people out and just, like, probably poking her own eye out, hitting herself in the crotch. It just was this big, like, thing. And then you had Plastique, who we know can dance. She's from the House of Edwards, so she has some, must have some dance ability, talent. Mm-hmm. And she does a really good job with it, but it just seemed very like I don't quite know how to describe it as like, this was not a good lip sync. This was very much like a mediocre,
right,
meh kind of lip sync.
Mm-hmm.
Gary,
speaking of meh, next. I hate to say it, but it was like if this was an audition, I would have cut them out. I wouldn't even let them finish the song. I'd have been like, next. There was nothing original about the performance. It reminded me of a lot of drag queen shows that I've seen in bars and clubs. It just the only thing that I think was different about it was that Vanjie had apparently good choreo control over her hair whip, because bitch knew exactly where it was and how to place her hand at the right moment to use it, to utilize it for like certain positions and certain looks and certain things. There was a moment, and I don't remember what she did with it. Like, I think she swung her thing around and like caught it in her hand at the exact right moment. And I was kind of like, oh, somebody practiced. But that's it. Like, I mean, like, that's the only thing that I think really kind of saved her ass.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, next.
Thank you.
So, next. In case you didn't figure it out, Plastique Tiara Sasha is away.
Bye.
Oh.
Which ruins my Drag Race fantasy league.
Oh, really?
Does it? Yeah. I mean, it's been ruined for a little while because I had a couple of other people in there, but Okay. So I'm going to own. So after the first episode, I was putting my team together and I put the wrong person in there thinking it was Akiria. And that was my fault, but I locked it in, not thinking about it. And unfortunately I had Mercedes Amon Diamond in my fantasy league. Yeah. So I was like, fuck, not, I didn't mean to, it was just me. Like I maybe hit the wrong person or I just wasn't paying attention and da 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 da. And ended up with her in my league. And I was like, oh, well, that was a choice.
Everything.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, so
Mercedes.
Okay,
bye. Yeah, so there's that. So plastic tiara sachets away. Let's move into our cool downs and talk about our snaps and eye rolls. All right, so Damon, snaps in this episode, your highs, who are you giving them to?
I am giving them to Miss Akiria C. Davenport for her commitment and in both the maxi challenge and also in the runway. We haven't talked about her runway. So if you aren't aware, Akiria has had some work done. I wasn't fully aware until I started noticing things after the fact. I was like, well, that's an ass.
Well, and there was a lot of conjecture on whether or not she actually has had any plastic surgery done. And I am currently listening to Dragcast, which is Nina West's podcast that she's been doing for a couple of years now. And she and her co-host actually talk about that, but Nina says she's not actually going to discuss it yet. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because Nina knew that probably comes out later in the season, so she wasn't going to say it. And then sure enough, Akiria owned it in the runway. She actually talked in confessional openly about the fact that she's had work done. Hence, her...
bodacious booty.
Her gingerbread nip tuck doll look.
Yeah, that also.
Here's the thing, it was cute, it was original, it's a different take on something, so that's what makes it original, but I didn't think it was that great.
It was okay. I got what she was going.
Yeah,
I got where she was going with it, and I appreciate it, but if you take away the shock, quote unquote, value of the fact that it's a plastic surgery kind of thing, it's honestly pretty fucking basic. It's a pattern almost on her body.
Yeah.
You know, so whatever. I mean, anyway,
it was glittery. It was pretty, and it definitely was a look and it's different. So I give her all the props for that. I just didn't think it was that revolutionary. So
I personally loved her. I loved her character in the improv scene. She committed to it. She went balls to the wall with it. As we talk about, I've seen this woman before, but not in a good way, but she embodied this character in such a way that I didn't see Akiria.
Really. Right.
I got this character and I was like, oh, this makes so much sense. And I mean, hell, she was fucking twerking and crying. Come on.
She is crawling on a cement sidewalk.
Yes.
Boo-hooing, having this, emotional meltdown and twerking, shaking that ass at the same time.
Yes.
I was like, that's some creative ingenuity. Mentally, those gymnastics to be able to be I'm going to twerk while I'm on crawling on all fours and crying and carrying on.
And it just worked so fucking well. I love that she ran off. I love that she committed to the fact that she's older and she was like, oh shit, my back. It just all this like
Right.
The little things that just added to this like well-rounded, well-versed character. I was impressed.
I agree. And that's why I also have to give snaps to Akira, because I honestly think it was the improv part that like nailed it for me, that I was like, this bitch is going to like top four, I bet. Like, I don't see, unless she really kind of screws up, why she wouldn't be making it that far at this point. Mm-hmm. I also want to give snaps to Brooklyn, because Brooklyn really pulled it out in the improv challenge. Overall, I thought she did literally well. Duly noted. I mean, she won the mini challenge, so she won the reading challenge. Good for her. Then she really does super well in her improv challenge, like crazily good, like scarily good, unpredictably, like we've been, you know, and maybe we were misled in the edit. And there was all this talk about how she was nervous and she wasn't really sure about blah, blah, blah. And it was up against Nina. Yeah. So maybe it was all just wool over her eyes. But like, honestly, she did really fucking well. So, you know, I was like, all right, well, there's that. And then, you know, on the runway, she got back to the Brooklyn, you know, where we're like, all right, I get it. Like, it's fashionable. It helps show off your body, yet it's creative. It's a look we have not seen to date. Mm-hmm. So I was happy with that. That's why I want to give her snaps. Damon, who you going to eye roll at?
Plastic didn't get it. And that's why she's gone.
Mm.
And I'm done. No, I'm not. Sorry.
I was like, and that's a fact. Yeah.
Really, it just, it bothers me that, like, okay, I don't know what she was thinking, like looking around the room and everyone has this full on mask. I mean, Silky's one didn't fit. It looked probably like she bought like a cheap, ski mask, and that's what she used as opposed to doing anything with it. Like, again, you should have done something more with it. Mm-hmm. But anyway, and I just, if I had looked around the room and saw that everyone had some kind of full coverage,
right,
I would have been like running for some scissors, trying to put something like sewed together really quickly, even if it was like a cheap stretch mask, like fabric, something that was black that she could have grabbed off the wall and done something really quickly with it. Mm-hmm. It would have made, I don't think it would have saved her per se, but it would have at least done something more than what she got.
Right.
And that concerned me. I mean, she's gone now, so it doesn't really matter in a sense, but like, did she not understand what the request was? Did they not get any pictures? Did she not see the episode with the infamous episode with RuPaul? Like, what happened where you had such a disconnect? And then on top of that, like, you're in the workroom and everybody has something covering their entire face except you.
You know, you brought up a really good point, though, because I'm curious on when this episode was filmed versus when the Facekini episode aired. Because it might have been just close enough that they had not seen the end of season 10. No, they hadn't. I don't think. Well, wait.
It's going to be hard.
They filmed it in like May through June, and last year it finished airing in June. So I don't know. There's quite a possibility that these girls didn't quite know what a Facekini was, like what the infamous incident was from last year. So I'm not trying to defend Plastic, but you brought up an interesting point that I was like, oh yeah, like if you really didn't know. But I agree with you. Yes, if you look around the room and all the other queens have way more on than you do, you might want to think about whether or not that means that you're not getting it right.
Yeah.
So for me, my eye rolls, Vanjie.
Mm-hmm.
Girl, you in trouble. Like, I don't know how to explain it, but you're not going to make it to the end, I don't think, unless you pull out something amazing.
Yeah.
Like, you're sinkable. I don't know how to say else to say it, girl. Like,
yeah,
you're part of the team to go, I think. Yeah. In the next couple of episodes. Speaking of which, so now we're down to seven. So we've got Akira, Brooklyn, Nina, Suga, Silky, Vanessa, and Evie.
Mm-hmm.
I personally kind of feel like Miss Vanessa is bottom two candidate, can leave, and probably Silky. And then we really kind of get to like top five. And mm-hmm. that's where I think it sort of becomes anybody's to lose. I think Nina and Evie are the, like, they need to step it up a little bit more and keep going. I know they're both kind of frustrated in this episode about being safe, but at the mm-hmm. same time, they're both okay with being safe in this particular yep. week, because it's like, bitch, like,
yeah.
Like, now that you're in the last half, being safe, if you keep being safe long enough, then you'll actually maybe be making it to the top four. And then that's when you really have to pull it out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to say. Yeah. I mean, I really think based on this week specifically, it's Akira and Brooklyn's like to come yeah. to the end. But I don't know.
If I were to pick a top four based on what has happened so far, it would be Akira, Brooklyn, Nina, and Evie.
Mm-hmm.
While I love Suga, Suga right now has been pulling these really awesome looks, but she's not really been doing well in the challenges.
Right.
Silky, honestly, I think, as we've mentioned, she's plateaued. And she's even said that she's plateaued, for lack of a better framing.
Well, hell, even Suga, I think, calls her out in confessional. And is like, oh, you think you don't have anything more to improve on?
Yeah.
Bye, girl. Like, yeah. Which agreed. I'm in the same in the camp. I'm like, you yeah. gotta go. Like,
yeah.
like I don't know what you think you're going to do next, Miss All-Star. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. So
confusing to me. I was like, maybe you're missing the whole point.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like, I'm no longer finding her antics funny. Not that I ever really truly did for a while,
right.
but I'm no longer finding her funny or entertaining. I'm now finding her grating on my nerves.
Right.
Every time she says something that comes out of her mouth, I don't like it. I don't care.
Right.
And that loud, boisterous personality has now become a thorn in my side.
Yeah.
And therefore, I'm ready for her to go.
Yeah.
Because I'm not seeing any change. I'm not seeing any growth. The outfit you wore tonight was, to me, you put two looks together to kind of try to make this work. You grabbed that cheap ass mask and threw that fly, bug, spider, whatever, roach thing on top of it. And you didn't, yeah. You know, I mean, like, if you're gonna be a fly, you didn't even put like fucking wings on.
Mm-hmm.
Flies fly,
right?
That's in their name. Yes, we know roaches fly too, but you don't know almost. You don't always see roaches flying. You normally see them like crawling around. You don't see them
correct
flying per se.
Yeah,
that's why they all got roach because. And it showed me that you weren't really trying.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that you didn't even put makeup on except for your fucking lips shows to me that you don't even want to put the commitment into going all out for something like this. Yeah, they won't see your face, but that's fucking lazy. If you don't do anything.
Well, and then the thing is that some of the queens knew that they might get asked or called out on it. So Evie, like, or not even Evie, like, well, Evie and Nina both notably, like, kind of did up their face. Brooklyn got complimented on the fact that her face makeup was so good that it matched to the face bikini. Like, you couldn't tell the difference between the two. I mean, like, and then, you know, Silky got called out on it. Like,
yeah.
Because Michelle basically wanted her to take the damn mask off and show them what she did with her face. And I was like, oh, here we go. Mm-mm.
She wasn't even wearing lashes. It's just.
Yeah.
That's just lazy. That's just so fucking lazy.
Right. And that's part of why I'm thinking, like, if they've already been at this for a month, I can see where they're getting tired. And that's a problem because it truly is a marathon, not a sprint. And like, if you want to make it to the end, you just kind of have to keep plowing ahead and keep trying and keep like working at it. So,
yeah.
All right.
All right.
Speaking of such things, if you would like to get in touch with us and tell us what you think of our thoughts, you can go to our blog, which is cubsoutloud.com. You can send us an email at cubsoutloud@gmail.com, or you can leave us a voicemail at 361-COL-TALK. That's 361-265-8255. Online, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, all that jazz. Just type in Cubs Out Loud as one word. if you would like to join our Entourage social chat for Cubs Out Loud Drag Race, you would go to tinyurl.com/telegram. That's TELEGRAM dash or hyphen COLDR. And you can join us on there for a chit chat. And that means, because we're actually recording tonight, technically the curfew has been lifted. So everybody in there can start talking how much they probably didn't like this episode. If you would like to support us, you can go to zazzle.com/cubsoutloud and you get yourself, you know, something kind of fun. You can get yourself a lovely little baseball cap like I have on. Extra stress. We have t-shirts, all sorts of varying things that are on there.
My wonderful Drag Race tea.
Oh, look at that. Very nice.
Sorry, it's a crown and everything. And everything.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, yeah. If you would like to subscribe to us on Patreon, you can do that. You can go to patreon.com/cubsoutloud, and you can, for as little as a dollar, be supportive. We actually just repaid for the domain renewal and hosting for a couple of years. Yay! So Jeff very much appreciates that as our producer, because he spent 10 years doing it for free. Not really free. It was coming out of his own pocket. So for the first time in ever, like, y'all helped make that like bill happen without him having to worry about it.
Thanks, so, guys. We really appreciate it.
And then if you would like to help promote COL, you can rate us on iTunes. You can give us a thumbs up on Stitcher. You can subscribe on Google Play Podcast. Tell other people about the show. You know, subscribe on YouTube, that kind of thing. Damon, if they want to get in touch with you and chat some more about what we discuss, where would they find you?
You can find me as TheaterCub79 on most bear-related sites, or even on Facebook. Or you can find me as Pup_Umbra on Twitter. Just please let me know what you're reaching out to me for, because I got a couple of friend requests recently, and I was like, I don't know her. So just let me know. Just shout out, like, hey, I follow you on COL Drag Race, or I really want to talk to you about Cubs Out Loud, or I think you're fucking hot. Like, I would love to hear that. Gary.
I was going to say, that being said, I could pretty much be found anywhere online as Garber73. That's GARBEAR73. And with that, we are going to go to the moon. See y'all.
Bye.